Hey, it's Tony Bruschi from Real Ghost Stories Online. We're at it again, giving away another $500 Amazon gift card. If you want in on this round, all you got to do, leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, then shoot me a screenshot of it to contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. Very simple. Leave the review, Apple Podcasts, screenshot, send it to contest@realghoststoriesonline.com. That's it. You're entered. Very soon, another person is going to win a $500 Amazon gift card as a thank you for that review. Go ahead. Leave it now. Takes like 4 seconds. We greatly appreciate it, and good luck.
This is a Real Ghost Stories Online Extra.
This is Jill from Indiana. I was just driving home and enjoying listening to a lot of the callers, and it occurred to me that I hadn't called for a while, and I thought, you know, they have a lot of great ghost stories, but how about some weird shit stories? So, in case you don't remember, I'm Jill from Indiana. I am a paranormal investigator going on 11 years now, but this is all before that. So when I was young, talking maybe between the ages of 8 and 11, I had three best friends. And we got it in our heads that we needed to be blood sisters. And I can't remember why this was a thing. Maybe Jenny remembers. Maybe it was a book or a popular TV show, but this was a thing. Like, you know, we're not actual sisters, but we want to be connected forever. And, you know, I suggest any listeners now, don't do this. There are so many horrible things that could go wrong. But, you know, back then it was not. We didn't know about all that. So, me and my three besties sliced our hands, put the palms together, said some sort of poem that we all knew. I don't know if it was a TV show or what, but, and we were, that's it. We were blood sisters, connected forever. No matter what happens, we're always connected. So, and we believed it. We wholeheartedly believed it. So, growing up, you know, this was just a thing with, you know, parents get divorced. Some of us moved back and forth. We still stay friends. Some would move away, then they'd come back. Anyway, the first thing that happened, I would say, me and one of the besties, I used to go to her house a lot. We were maybe fourth grade-ish, so 10 or 11. And one day, it was like a Saturday or Sunday, I just, all of a sudden, just jumped up, pain in my hand, the hand that we became blood sisters with. And I knew which person it was because which hand it was and where on the hand it hurt. And I knew that my friend, I'm going to say her name was Ronnie, was in trouble because my hand hurt. She's in trouble. She needs me. And I was just full-blown panic immediately. And I ran to my mother and said, I got to go to Ronnie's house. And my mother's like, what? What? No, I'm cooking. We don't have time. We can't do that now. Maybe next weekend. No, I have to go right now. I have to go right now. She needs me. What? Did you talk to her mother? What does she need you for? This went on and on. And my mother insisted I call and ask permission, and that's rude. I called and called and called. Nobody was answering. Nobody was answering. And my mom was like, they're probably not even home. I was like, no, I have to go right now. They need me. And so I went to my bedroom and pretended to call, pretended they answered, and came back and said, yes, they need me. They need me to come over and help right away, please. And I, like, brought her her shoes and purse. We raced over to my friend's house. My mom, like, waved. I waved. I got up to the door, and I had no idea if they were even home. I'm ringing the bell frantically. I got to get in there. And sure enough, her mom opens the door, and she's laughing and crying at the same time. She's like, oh, thank God you're here. And she pulls me into the house, and she goes, come help. And she's laughing, but I hear my girlfriend, Ronnie, screaming in pain. And we run back to her bedroom. And so here's the scene. Ronnie's laying on her stomach, and she had been drawing. She's an artist. And she was drawing in her sketchbook. her cat Morris had been laying on her butt cheeks, because that's the best place to lay, obviously. When an Air Force airplane flew overhead and broke the sound barrier. This happens all the time. Every time they do it, they deny it because stuff breaks. Stuff blows up. But every time they do it, they say they didn't do it. So we all heard the boom. And when that happened, her cat dug all the claws into her buttocks and got caught. So her mom is, you know, my friend is reaching around with her arm trying to hold the cat down. The cat's claws are deeply embedded in her butt. There's blood everywhere. She had been wearing shorts. There's blood everywhere. She's screaming and crying. Her mom is, like, trying not to laugh, but it's, you know, and she's like, just hold it still. Just hold it still. And she's, like, telling me, sit on the cat. And so I straddle my friend over the cat, holding it clamped, while her mother picks its claws, like, out of her butt. And that's what happened. And I just knew she needed me. And so they couldn't get the claw out and trying to tug and pull away. And I can't remember if she needed stitches or not, but it was a hilarious bloody mess the next day. And yes, the cat was white. So that was one of the stories. If I don't get cut off, I'll tell you another one. If it cuts off, just end it here. But so a different friend, on another occasion, I had called you about this one a long time ago. So I'll just give you the brief reminder. She was also one of my blood sisters when I was having a bad time. We were in college. I desperately wanted to get a hold of her. And I called her, and she finally picked up, and it was a big party. And I thought, how did you get all these people in your little tiny dorm? And she had answered the phone, but she had actually been at a fraternity party way on the other side of campus. The phone number was completely different. It wasn't off by one or two numbers. She just happened to answer the phone when I needed to talk to her. And, you know, that's it. We're blood sisters. When I needed you, you're there. Well, the three of us, stuff like this had happened enough that we figured out, and this is so weird, when we were younger, we had figured out that we could call each other. Me and the first one, Ronnie, she moved to live with her dad for a little while. And her dad's mom, her stepmom, was really strict, wouldn't let her on the phone after a certain time and all of this. So what we would do is, if you need to call me, you go out and you look at the moon and you know, think of me and will me to call you. Because she couldn't call me, but I could call her. So she would do that. And sometimes I'd just be there and I'd kind of glance at the moon and I'd think of my friend. I'd like pop in my head and be like, oh, she needs to be calling. So I'd call her and go, hey, what's up? And she'd go, oh, good, I've been trying to get a hold of you through the moon. And I was like, yeah, I heard. And it was strange, right? But we accepted this as normal because we're blood sisters. Anyway, lots of those types of weird things that we would all do. As we got older, my third friend, she got real uncomfortable with it. Her parents were more religious, and I think she confided in them what we were doing and how come Jill always knows when to do this and when to do that. So they pretty much said I was the devil and, you know, don't talk to her. But we did anyway because we're blood sisters. So, and when she got older, she was going to marry this boy, and he was a great guy. We're in college. I met him. Wonderful guy. I thought, oh, you're so lucky. We're all partying one weekend. It's her senior year of college. They're going to run, you know, after they graduate, they're going to get married. And we were all, like, holding hands and singing some dumb song. I don't know what. And all of a sudden, I pictured them and her and him both were just crying and sobbing uncontrollably and she was furious with him. And I don't know what happened, but it was horrible, and it hurt my heart, and it made it feel like I couldn't breathe. And I told her, I said, if you marry him, you're going to experience the most horrible sadness and pain because of him. And she's like, why? What's going to happen? I was like, I don't know. But it's going to suck. And I'm like, don't marry him. And she was like, oh, you're crazy. Well, after they got married, yes, I was in her wedding. I stood up for her wedding. And then she just kind of fell off. She stopped answering my phone calls. She didn't reply to letters, you know, tried to get together with them. So I found out that she had had a baby soon after, and the baby was born severely mentally defective. I don't know how. I don't know what's wrong with the baby, but it's one of those where her child is going to be permanently in a wheelchair, will have to be spoon-fed its whole life. That's very severe, very severely. And I got that information from her sister-in-law, her stepsister. I didn't know. I knew something bad had happened. I didn't know what. Apparently, she whatever the birth defect was, it was DNA related, and she blamed her husband and all of that. So then she also kind of blamed me, I guess.
If you want more real ghost stories and access to the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories.